This lesson today, a lesson on stewardship, and I think that is a very vital subject for all of us. Now, a lot of people, when they hear the word stewardship, they may think automatically you're going to talk about money again, and we are. But there's a whole lot more to stewardship than just finances. It actually includes what I like to call three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Those are the three things that in stewardship involves. And they are all vital. And we give account to God for what we do with these things. So let's go ahead and take a look here today. We're talking about the subject of stewardship. God requires that a steward be faithful. Everybody say faithful. Therefore, the good steward will acknowledge that his position is one of service and not ownership. And then our focus verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's one word that seems to keep creeping up here. That's it, faithful. And then from the book of Matthew chapter 25, one of the parables that Jesus taught concerning stewardship, Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse number 14, the scripture said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Everybody say his goods. Was not their goods, his goods. And could I remind us today that what we have is not our own? He said, you're not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. So even who we are, we're not our own. And unto one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Principles of stewardship. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We taught several lessons from a book written by Randy Alcorn. I recommend it very highly. It is a book that made quite an impact on my life, and I think it is one of the best books I've ever read on this subject. The title of the book is Money, Possessions, and Eternity. He says in that book, stewardship is not a subcategory of the Christian life. Stewardship is the Christian life. After all, what is a steward except that God has entrusted to us lifetime, talents, money, possessions, family, and his grace? So that's what we are. We're stewards of what God has given to us. We're just managers. We don't own life, obviously. It just is a gift of God that's given to us to use. God allows talents to come into your life. Everyone here, you were created specially by God and given a group of talents, and God gave it to you to use according to your ability. Every one of us can do different things. Brother Holly used to say, every man and something is my superior in that I will learn from him. There's something today that somebody here can do better than I can do it. And there's something that I can do perhaps better than somebody else can do it. So all of us work together with the talents and the abilities that God has given to us. So God has given all of us great gifts, great abilities. God has given us a space of life called time. And it's important what we do with that. I have tried to break myself of the habit of saying I don't have time, because I do. God gives me time. If every day that God gives me has 24 hours in it, and it just depends on what I do with it. I have time, just like you do. But I have to use it. And if I want to do something, I have to take the time to do that. I don't have it, I take it. And I spend it. The goal is to spend our time wisely. I think often of that line from the poem If, written by Rudyard Kipling. And when he said, if I can fill every unforgiving moment with 60 seconds of distance run. And that's we're all working against the clock here today. And we all have time. We all have the same amount of time. And it depends on how we use it and what we do with it, because we are God's stewards here today. So what is the role of a steward? Well, there are certain qualifications that come with it, and we're going to talk about the role of a steward here. So the qualifications of a good steward, everybody say a good steward. I want to be a good steward, because the Lord is going to say, well done, only if I have done well. And he's going to say, faithful if I have been faithful. God cannot lie. So he's not going to say I'm good if I'm not. And he's not going to say I'm faithful if I haven't been. So that's our job. Okay, first of all, a good steward must be faithful, knowledgeable, and trustworthy. Well, those are good qualifications, aren't they? Now, could I just say today, it doesn't matter what someone else is. We don't judge ourselves by how someone else is and say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. That's not good enough. We judge ourselves among ourselves. The Bible said we are not wise. So don't use somebody that doesn't live up to your standard to justify yourself. Amen. Judge yourself by the word of the Lord, knowing what God has required of you. Amen. And so, first of all, then, a steward must be faithful, must be knowledgeable, must be trustworthy. We can do all of those things. That's within in our grasp. And then a good steward must keep accurate records or accounts. Amen. Must keep accurate accounts. We're going to see in another parable here in a little while that God calls for an accounting day. Anybody ever talked to an accountant before? Somebody hold you responsible? If you pay rent or a house payment, you do that every month. If you make a car payment, you do that every month. Amen. That's an account that you give account for. You have to, or you're responsible. Then a good steward must spend time. I like that word spend, because that's literally what we do with time. I've heard people talk about saving time. You can't save time. We only spend time. And once you spend it, you never get it back. You spend it one way or another. We can waste time. But we must spend it doing something. Every second of life we spend doing something. So a good steward must spend time wisely. That means he must prioritize. What's most important? That's what a priority is. It's the most important thing. A good steward must handle money and investments responsibly. Amen. In our culture, this is becoming more and more difficult to do. But we need to talk to God about our money. I think Chuck Swindoll, one of his books, he had a title, And the title of the book is Strengthening Your Grip. I don't know if you've read that. It's a good book. Strengthening Your Grip. And one of the chapters said, Strengthening Your Grip on Money. That's an out title. Because it just seems to slip away, doesn't it? Did you know if you don't tell your money what to do, it has a mind of its own? You've got to sit down and tell your money what to do. You've got to tell it. You've got to determine where it's going to go. We call that a budget. And everybody needs a budget to tell their money what to do. Because if you don't have a budget to tell your money what to do, it'll make its own decisions. And we'll not spend it as wisely as we should. So, and we are responsible for that. And then a good steward must be an upright example to the household. So that's another thing. We want to be a good example to the household of faith that God has made us a great part of. So then a steward is really somebody that manages somebody else's affairs. That's what a steward is. You remember Joseph in the Bible? He was put over all of Potiphar's house. Potiphar didn't know how much money he had, or how many cows he had, or how much milk he had. He didn't know anything. Joseph, he wanted to know anything, he went to Joseph. Because Joseph was a faithful steward in his house. And everything that we have received from God. And so we are spending God's resources. The first thing God made man responsible for was a garden, wasn't it? He put Adam in the garden and he said, now keep the garden. It's my garden, but you're in charge of it. And we're still in charge of the earth. I don't think we need to be wacko about environmentalist issues, but we do need to be responsible. It is still God's earth, isn't it? We're still breathing God's air, and everything that's here belongs to Him. So we need to be responsible. Because we are managing affairs for our God. And that's very important that we understand that. It's not about me and my stuff. It's all about God and His stuff. So all of us then are stewards because we're in charge of something. God has put us and made us stewards. I like this verse in First Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul said, which is talking about we have been made stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? So what are those things? One of them, he said, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one of the things. Isn't that a tremendous thing that we have the Holy Ghost today? Woo! And we're a steward over that. Amen. We must manage our lives in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And God has given us a number of things that are very important. We've received a tremendous truth, folks. You know, a lot of folks don't know about the infilling of the Holy Ghost evidence with speaking other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. A lot of people don't know that there's just one God and His name is Jesus Christ. A lot of people do not understand that their sins can literally be blotted out in the name of Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism. A lot of people don't know about a holiness lifestyle, that God requires us to be holy and to live a certain standard that is His standard. A lot of people don't know these things. But we are stewards of this. And we don't manage it in our own life, but one of the great things God gave us was a commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has made us stewards of these things. Stewards of the church. Stewards of the knowledge of the rapture and end time events. And stewards of the creation that we studied about last week. And God has just given us so much. As stewards, we've got to manage it well and take care of it because God has made us responsible. Those that did not do well, the Bible called them wicked and slothful. I'm concerned about people that are selfish. I've never met a selfish person that was happy. Ever. ever. The happiest people that I know are people that are involved, giving of themselves, giving of their time, giving of their finances. They understand they're just a steward. They don't live life holding on to stuff. But they live life with an open hand. And they allow God to use them and let things flow through them. And be a blessing to others. 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 God uses those individuals. And that's a wonderful thing. So then a steward that doesn't do well. Do you know the only one in that parable we read just a moment ago, it stopped before it got down to the end. But the one that God just gave one talent. You know what I have found in life that's very frightening? People that don't think they can do anything. And God doesn't cut them any slack. Let me say that again. God doesn't cut them any slack. I've met people say, oh, I'm nobody. I can't do anything. Well, you may feel sorry for yourself, but God doesn't. Because He invested in you. He put some talents, He put some time, and He put some treasure in your hand. And He's going to expect an accounting someday and a return on what He invested. And if we squander it, or just like this fellow did, all he did was just hide it. Did nothing with it. And when he stood before the judge, or before the owner, he said, "You wicked and slothful servant." Folks, we've got to do something with what we have. It's, to not appreciate the talent and the time and the abilities God gave you is an insult to Him. I've heard people say, well, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God gave you some talents and abilities. We don't need to be proud and lifted up and haughty, but at the same time, appreciate who you are. Appreciate what God has given you. Amen. Don't get lifted up and brag and boast and think you're the greatest, but at the same time, don't squander and go through life with your head down and thinking that you're nothing and nobody. You're a child of God with abilities and talents and time and some treasure. There in this congregation, you don't have very much, but you do a lot with what you do have. And I appreciate you. I know some people in this congregation that financially have very little, but they're always doing something for somebody else. I appreciate that. And you know what? God does too. God does too. You don't have a lot, but what you do have, you're using it well and wisely to be an encouragement and a blessing to others. I appreciate that. Amen. So we must be wise with what we have. Wisdom is an important thing, and the Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse number 42, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make rule over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Who is, notice these two qualifying words, faithful and wise. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the most profitable way. That's what wisdom is. Some people are real smart, but they're not very wise. Amen. So wisdom is gained a lot by experience, and by life, and by living, and doing the right things. Amen. Now, we must give an account. We must give an account. There comes a reckoning day. And when we will give an account for everything God gave us now, you don't have to believe this verse, but it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen. I know people think, well, it's my stuff. Wrong. Again, Charles Swindoll, one of his books, he had a statement. He said, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You can't take it with you. It's God's stuff. It's all going to stay right here. Solomon, the wise man, said, he said, all this stuff I've accumulated, and who knows that when I die, what they're going to do with it? Will he be a wise man or a fool? Everything you put together in life, it's going to stay here. So you might as well use it wisely while you're here. Amen. Somebody said, the one that dies with the most toys wins. What a foolish statement. You're still dead and the stuff's still here. And you've just got to give an account to God for squandering stuff just on yourself and not using wisely the time, the talents, and the treasure that God gave you. All right, so each of us must give an account. That's going to happen. There's a certainty. It's going to happen. We're going to appear before God himself, and we're going to be responsible. You know, I hear so much these days, and I woke up today, I guess, thinking about this. We hear so much about people demanding rights. My rights, my rights, my rights, my rights. But we hardly hear anything about my responsibility. One of the places where we have gone very wrong as a society is focusing on our rights instead of our responsibilities. There are a lot of people that demand rights but want no responsibility. And you can't have both. I was thinking, you know, I try to be a responsible person. I try to take care of my financial obligations. I know that I have to pay my electric bill. Nobody's going to pay it for me. I have to pay my own. And so, if I don't want to pay a large electric bill, I may not be as comfortable as I'd really like all the time. I might, in the wintertime, I might have to turn that thing down or I have to wear a little jacket around the house because I don't want to pay a big electric bill. In the summertime, it may not be quite as cool as I would just really prefer it to be. You know, I've seen people set their air conditioner and then wear a coat. Something's wrong with that picture. And then I've had them call the church, want me to pay their electric bill. That's not being responsible. Nor is it responsible of me as a pastor to pay that electric bill. You see, that's a right mentality. You know, well, I have a right to be cool. Oh, really? Tell that to about 99% of the world that don't even know what an air conditioner is. That live in a hotter place than we do. We've got a very warped sense of priority sometimes in this country because we are a spoiled, rotten people. But you hear me? It's coming to an end because the bank is broke. And responsibility is all coming home. Amen. Well, we've got to be trustworthy. And we got to be faithful. I love this verse. I think of it often. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, it is required, if I say required, in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Now, this has happened a lot lately. People have put their trust in their bank, and their bank foolishly squandered their money, and the bank went broke. There are people that have put their money in the hands of somebody to make investments for them, and they lost their money. I know a couple that had money in a particular institution in South Texas. I think it was the only one left in the United States that was not covered by FDIC insurance. And it went under. And they lost almost everything. Nothing was guaranteed. Because it was not a good steward. We're in the financial mess we're in today because our government is not a good steward. It's a horrible steward. they have squandered. Did you know that Social Security was supposed to be set aside and not touched? But it not. It was spent. And so today we have nothing. Everything that generations past put in has been spent and squandered. Because they're not wise. They're not faithful. They're not trustworthy. But God expects us to be. I said God expects us to be. And when I read this lesson today, it convicted me of some things. It did. I need to spend my time a little more wisely in some areas. Amen. When you really take this seriously today, and we should, because we will give an account to God. And I think one of the greatest things, and I'm going to hush, Brother Hart, this is and let you take the lesson from here, but one of the things that I think is epidemic in our society today is making excuses. And you know that fellow that wasted that talent and hid it? He tried that. He made some excuses, didn't he? He said, I know you're a hard man. You're dishonest. Made some excuses. And the Lord said, well, if that's what you think, you're welcome to your thought. He didn't dispute it. He said, but if you knew I was a hard man, then you should have taken what I gave you, and you should have invested it. If you knew that, and that's what you thought. So God didn't cut him any slack. He's not going to cut us any. So let's be wise stewards. Amen. Brother Hart, come. God bless you. He's got 3 minutes 25 to finish 3/4 of it.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, hasn't God been good to every one of us? I don't think that any of us can say that we have been shortchanged when it comes to the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the blessings of God. Our God is a very benevolent God. In fact, my Bible says that He will not withhold any good thing from them that love Him. And so God wills to bless us abundantly. But in order to receive more than what we have already received, we must first be accountable for what we have. If you want to walk in greater light, you must walk in the light that you already have. Before you get dessert, you got to clean your plate. You never heard that. God takes care of His people. And God blesses us abundantly. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And so it's not that we are in any way impoverished. It's not that God hath withheld any good thing from us. We are blessed bountifully. And my Bible says, unto whom much is given. How many have been given much? Unto whom much is given, much is required. Little given, little required. Much given, much required. So how many of you want to be blessed? Some people don't want the blessings of God. By the way they handle the blessings of God, they don't want blessing. Because they despise the goodness of God. They trample on the grace of God and turn it into disgrace. They don't appreciate God's love and His mercy and His goodness. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:1, the Apostle Paul writes and says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We have been given precious and eternal blessing, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Lord requires us to be accountable for what we have received of Him. And He has given us understanding and revelation and wisdom and knowledge. He's given us apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And so we have been blessed abundantly. But the Bible tells in Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to give an account for every lesson that we have been taught, for every sermon that we've heard, from every revelation that God has revealed to us, for all of the things that God has bestowed, we are going to give an account. We are accountable. Whether we want to be accountable or not, we are going to be accountable. Every man shall give an account, not of his neighbor. I don't have to give an account for you, but I do have to give an account for myself on having done the will of God, having performed the purpose of God. And first on the list that we're going to discuss on accountability, Brother Grissom's already mentioned time. Time. Now, God dwells in eternity. And the way that God looks at things is so much different than how we look, because He's eternal. He's from everlasting. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so time is really irrelevant as far as God is concerned. But it's very relevant to you and I, because we are everyone. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So one thing that we have a very limited amount of is time. Time is not on our side. Time is not your friend. You're going to find out time is your greatest enemy. That we are running out of time. Every moment that we are here today, that time is ticking away. When we live here today, we'll have less time than we had when we began. Time is not your friend. And so it's very important that we choose carefully what we do with our time. Because you can't not go back and undo what has been done. You're not going to be given second and third opportunities to go back and reverse the attitude, the actions, the consequences of your deeds. Because everything that we are involved in involves time. As stewards, we will succeed only when we use our time wisely. Jesus emphasized the importance of the prudent use of time in John chapter 9 and verse 4. If you have your Bible and want to turn to the book of John, we can examine here Jesus, what Jesus had to say about our use of time. John 9 verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light. Now, what was he referring to as far as day and night? Was he talking about literal day and literal night? Or was he talking about an epoch or a period in time? There would come a time when, the Bible says, there comes a time when no man can work. The only time that you really have is right now. Today is the day of salvation, if any man will hear. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. I don't know when the sun is going to set upon my life. But one day the sun is going to set upon every life. And when the night comes, you can't do anything about your soul. You can't do anything about what you have or have not done. You cannot change. You cannot alter your record. What is written is written. What's done is done. We're going to give an account unto God. And so the only thing that we... So procrastination is one of the worst things that a person can do. Because we are being judged by time. And like Brother Grissom said, every one of us has 24 hours in a day. We should not say, I don't have time. You must choose what you do with your time. You must prioritize your time. Because there will come a time, there will come a period in your life when it's over. It's finished. It's done. When I look over my 56 years of life, and I realize how short, how brief life is. I can very easily look back and say, if I would have done this, or if I would have done that, or if I would have applied myself in this area or that area, how much more productive I could have been. How many can look at your life and think, if you could have made a few adjustments along the way, that it might have turned out differently, that you might have a better resume when you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many of us? I think we all could. And so time is a very, very... The Bible tells us to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We need to be careful we don't squander time, that we don't waste time. But think of some of the activities in your life that are just a complete waste of time and energy. How many don't waste any time? Every moment, every waking hour that you spend in productive activity. But we can all probably say, yeah, we doodle away a lot of time. We let a lot of water pass under the bridge. Amen. We act like that we've got all the time in the world. We act like there's no limit. But there is. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And so when it comes to stewardship, one word we need to remember is priority. Did Jesus prioritize? Did he not say, seek you first, the Dallas Cowboys? Seek you first as the world turns. All my children, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so prioritizing is a biblical precept. If we are going to be good stewards, we must prioritize. We must allot, we must set aside time for the activities that are most important to God. The apostles went to the temple at the hour of prayer. That was not an accident. They did not just happen to be on their way to the 7-Eleven and pass by the church. They were purposely going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And so we have to budget our time just like we budget our money. Time is money. You wouldn't just take a $100 bill and just throw it out in the middle of the street, but we do that with our time. We're very careless with our time. We're more careful about our money than we are our time. Now, you can print money on a printing press. You can't make more time. You can make more money, but you're not going to make more time. And we need to be careful what we do with it. We need to prioritize our time. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to find out, is this biblical or not? Ephesians 5 and 15 says, "So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, what is the antithesis of that? Forever high, there's a low. Forever up, there is a down. Right? There's an opposite. What's the opposite of north? South. The opposite of right is wrong. The antithesis of that, if that we are not redeeming the time, then we're acting like a fool. Then it's foolish to squander time. It's foolish not to prioritize. If you do not plan, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so we need to set priorities. The wise steward learns to stay focused, because the devil is a robber of time. He's a thief. Not everything that the devil steals is monetary or materialistic. The devil likes to steal your time. If he can distract you, if he can somehow get you, your focus off of the things of God and onto things of the world, sensual things, he will do whatever he has to do to distract you, because he realizes that the most valuable thing that you have is time. Now, what's another area of stewardship? Money. God gives us, God is the one that enables us. He gives us the power to obtain wealth. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 tells us that God gives us the power to obtain wealth. And so if you will apply the principles of the Word of God, that God will bless you in the area of finance. People who are blessed financially are blessed because of principles that they, whether consciously or subconsciously, that they put into practice. Because the laws of God, amen, work. The principles of God's Word, amen, are blessing. So, cast your bread upon the waters, and it will return after many days. Invest. You know, a man that observes the sky, he'll never plant. You know, a farmer that observes the sky, he'll never plant a crop. I mean, some things you have to do in faith. We've got to sow the seed and let God, amen, one plants, another waters, but who gives the increase? God does. Amen. God, amen, it's not God's responsibility to invest. God is not going to invest your money. He gives you that responsibility. God is not going, amen, to do for you what you can do for yourself. But it's God that gives the increase. Our part really isn't all that big. All we have to do is sow. Sow the seed. Water the seed. God waters it, doesn't He? Amen. He rains down from heaven and He gives the increase. if we will just do what we can do, amen, God will make up the rest. And so it's very important that we invest our money wisely. The greatest benefit of money comes when we invest it in the kingdom of God. It's good to invest money in the stock market. It's good to invest money in stocks and mutual funds and real estate. All those are good things that are commendable, because any time you get a return on what God has given you, you've done well. Amen. People who invest wisely, they are to be commended. You're not going to be commended for wasting what God blessed you with. Amen. But there is blessing, there is reward for those that invest wise. But the greatest investment that you can make is when you invest your time and your money in the kingdom of God. I mean, it's amazing what God can do with just a little bit. Amen. We give our little, the widow with the mite, she invested in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said she gave more than all of the rich men. All of the priests, that she gave, because she gave all that she had. Investing in the kingdom of God to pay tithes and offerings, to help those that are less fortunate than ourselves. If you see a brother or sister in need, amen, when you invest in that person, you know what you're doing? You're laying up treasure in heaven. Amen. You will never, never, amen, ever regret what you invest in the kingdom of God and the propagation of the gospel. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain. If your faith is in the world system and in the banks, in the currencies of the world, if you put your faith in what you've accumulated, that you're very foolish. If you're all puffed up, lifted up, but put your faith what? In the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in what? Good works. And so, be rich toward God. You may not be rich as far as the world. You may not make the list of all the wealthy people of this world, but be rich in good works. Ready to what? Distribute. That means ready to what? To give. And willing to communicate. Sometimes that just a word of encouragement, a word of kindness, a word of exhortation, amen, is more valuable than a $100 bill. Be willing to communicate. Be willing to share. If you've got good news, share it. If you've got something encouraging to say, give it. Amen. Edify the body of Christ. Amen. That you might be blessed. Another area that we need to be good stewards is in prayer. That Christians who have received the Holy Ghost, amen, we ought to be good stewards of the things of God. Our temple has been filled with the Spirit of God. And so we need to keep our temple pure. Your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we need to keep our temple pure. One of the ways that we can keep our temple pure is to keep our minds focused on God. That's why we need to spend time in prayer. It's not that we should go to God and ask God, God give me this, God give me that. You know, sometimes that we may be so blessed that we really don't need a lot of blessing as far as material things are concerned. But we need to pray whether we need anything or not.
You may have lots of money in your bank account. Your car may be running good. You may not have been sick for 10 or 15 years. But you still need to pray. Because you need to spend time with God. You need to meditate on the things of God. And another area that we need, amen, to be good stewards is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Daily we make decisions and choices that reveal our relationship to these treasures entrusted to our care. How we use our time, our talents, and our treasure declares clearly what matters most to us. Watch what a person does with these, and you will quickly see his priorities. Amen. Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. So if you don't spend any time in prayer, you probably don't treasure your relationship with God very much. You certainly couldn't treasure that relationship if you don't spend much time. You don't treasure a relationship if you look for excuses not to spend time with the Lord. But we ought to be glad. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time communing with God. And we need to be good stewards of the gospel. We have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whereby we can proclaim to the world the plan of salvation. We need to be good stewards of our talents and our abilities, because God has blessed us with many blessings and abilities. The Bible says, I'm going to conclude with one more verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Oh, I'm thankful today that I am a steward of the blessings of God. Amen. He has blessed us. He has bestowed upon us so many blessings. How could we ever pay back? How could we ever give back to God? You will never outgive to God what He has given to you. But oh, how wonderful, what a blessing it is to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And how much more ought we to practice that this Christmas season, and giving of ourselves and our talents to the kingdom of the Lord. God bless.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Call on that name. Call on that name. Just speak the name of Jesus. Let victory proclaim. Standing on the promises, living by faith. Nothing is impossible when you call on that name. Call on that name. Call on that name. Speak the name of Jesus, and victory we proclaim. Standing on promises, living by faith. Nothing is impossible when you call on that name. So call on that name. Call on that name. Speak the name of Jesus, then victory we proclaim. Standing on promises, we're living by faith. Nothing is impossible when you call on that name. We're gonna call on that name. Call on that name. Speak the name of Jesus, and victory be proclaimed. Standing on the promises, living by faith. Nothing is impossible when you call on that name. I call Him Jesus, my rock. I call Him Jesus, my rock. Jesus, my rock. Jesus, my rock. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, my rock. I call Him Jesus, my rock. Jesus, my rock.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. What a statement. Nothing, nothing you can imagine, nothing you can come up with is ever impossible. Come up with scenario after scenario, God is bigger. He shows more grace. He has more power. And He has more answers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come up with the question. We've
come to praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Just a break in the service. Wanted to take the opportunity to take some needs before the Lord. You know, this is the best time to take a need before the Lord. It's when we've already acknowledged He can do anything. He will do anything. If we bind together touching anything, He says that He'll honor that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's the list. Remember each and every one of them on there. Those in the hospital healing, very special needs and unspoken. Any other unspoken by the lifting of your hand? Let's take these needs before the Lord. Jesus, Lord, I praise You. God, I worship You. Lord Jesus, I ask that You touch each and every one of these needs. Lord God, that You would touch each and every one of these situations. Lord God, that You would minister. Lord God, You know each and every one of these people. Lord God. Oh, God, You know exactly what's needed, Lord God, for those that need healing, Lord Jesus. You know the part, Lord God. You know the exact cell that makes the difference. Lord God, I ask that You would minister to them. Lord God, stretch forth Your hand right now and heal them. Jesus, Lord, for those in need of salvation, Lord God, I ask that You would call them. Lord God, Your word says unto those that You call, Lord Jesus, I ask that You call their name right now. Lord God, minister in their lives. Lord God, for those
who with unspoken needs, Lord God, those who need special situations, Lord God, special moves, Lord God, you're the move, you're the necessity, Lord God, in their life, Lord Jesus, the thing that can change, Lord God, I ask that you would move in their life, Lord God, that you would minister to them right now. Jesus, Lord, have your way. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, you deserve the glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I told Sister Hart when I come up here I was just going to sing them and get out of the way, but I just can't do it this morning. There's such a praise in the house. The Spirit of the Lord is lingering. It's inviting. Oh, for someone to reach out and to touch Him. For someone just to utter that one word. Oh, let's press through. It's time. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I worship you.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer.
Glorious Lord, Emmanuel.
worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Just wanted to take the opportunity. To say how good God has been in this place. How good God has been to my family in this year. How good God has just been, period. How wonderful He is. Oh, that He could take a life as wretched as mine and literally pull me up out of the gutter to change my family. Oh, to make it a beautiful thing, a holy thing. I look around this morning and I see so many lives that wouldn't be what they were without God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful Jesus we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him one more time. Hallelujah, Lord. I worship You, God. I praise You. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, thank You for Your touch in each and every one of our lives. Lord God, thank You for Your move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful time we had last night in the Lord. Had such a great opportunity to fellowship. We have several more things coming up today. As a matter of fact, they're over there having the children's Christmas banquet. What a wonderful thing that is to be able to minister to the children in such a way. Other ways to minister, there's only 3 days left to turn in the Christmas blessings wreaths with the gift card. So purchase the card, turn it in so that we can bless these families with these. My family was one of the families that was blessed at Thanksgiving, and it was so wonderful. It was such an honor. They even broke into my truck to put it in there, so that was pretty cool. Brother Hart was pretty sly. Where's he at? There he is. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks to all those that gave. That was awesome. To go out there, and he didn't break in. He asked me for my keys. I just didn't know why, so I won't put that on him. But give. Give till it hurts. Bless these families. It's a wonderful thing. I can't say it again. It is better to give than to receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Absolutely, absolutely. That means you got something. Hallelujah. The Christmas program in the sanctuary is going to be Sunday morning. That's the 19th. That's next Sunday, right? My wife's nodding her head, so okay, I got something right. Amen. And we're going to have the church family potluck and singing that Sunday evening. So bring meat, vegetable, and a dessert dish for the potluck. Also warm up your vocalizer. I think we're going to be caroling and having some other fun. So please bring, invite. That means drag somebody if you have to. Lure them with food if you have to. But bring somebody. It's a great time to be had in the Lord. Also remember, our schedule of services, Tuesday night prayer at 6:30. Wednesday, midweek manna at 7 p.m. Kids can and youth can. That's Friday evenings, I believe. Or the youth service Friday evenings. And then Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Everybody say Sunday school. Sunday school. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And with that, go ahead. Youth choir at 4:45. So if you feel young, show up at 4:45. It's your chance to claim it. Be young. 4:45. Brothers, if y'all would prepare to take our offering and our tithe. It's a tenth that's holy unto the Lord.
It is.
He blesses it, I assure you. I have never seen money and funds become so blessed as when it's given unto the Lord and used in the ministry. It's absolutely awesome to see. So, Brother Ferguson, if you would, please, sir.
And the Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. A temple is a building that has been erected for the purpose of worship. Amen. It is a place where God is honored. And so we are a temple today of worship. That's the purpose of this body, is to give glory and honor to God. So that being the case, is it no wonder that the devil will do everything he can to destroy this temple and defile it and cause it to do things that it was never created to do and get it involved in things that will bring it shame rather than glory and honor? Amen. It's this body that we use to glorify God. Amen. And so, Lord, help me to use this temple to glorify you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship with me this morning. We're going to sing Leaving on My Mind. This old house I'm living in is needing repair, 'cause the windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air.
And I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can get the time. But all I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Most of the time, calls soon, and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. So I guess I should be looking for some better place that I could live. Oh, but I can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it can give. 'Cause I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. 'Cause of what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Most of the time, 'cause soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. Oh, lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Most of the time, 'cause soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apostle said, if I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. If I thought this is all there was, what a travesty. And you know, there are many people that do. That's why they live the way they do. That's why they're selfish and grasping and greedy and trying to get a hold of everything they can get and hang on everything to God, because they think this is all there is. Amen. But thank God, this is not all there is. This is just a little test run to see how we're going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is just an opportunity to see what God can trust us with, because he's going to have a whole lot more on the other side. Amen. Good to see you this morning. God bless you for being here.
Amen. Good to have Brother and Sister Guidry with us today. They've got a service here in a little while, but I'm real happy to have them around. These are some of my favorite people. They're real Christians. Amen. They're real folks. They're the same wherever you see them. And they are doing a great work for God, doing a great work in Mexico, doing a great work in Spain. Amen. And I appreciate them very much today, and I honor them. Amen. Good to see everybody. We're glad you're here. Thank you for being in service. Every guest and all of our friends, we are so happy. Brother Vincent blessed us last night. He looks a little different today than that fella. Amen. And his purpose is going to be a little different today. Amen. We appreciate Brother Vincent and his ministry. He has been a blessing to us, and the revival that he preached here before. We're happy that he consented to come back and be with us again this weekend. Amen. So, Brother Vincent, God bless you. Come. Amen. The service is yours and the Lord's.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Isn't it just good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. There's a lot of other places you could be. Amen. One, you could be Christmas shopping. And you men, aren't you thankful today you're in the house of the Lord? Somebody got spiritual on that when they said, hey, man. Man, I tell you, I grew up with a ton of sisters, and they talked me into the day after Thanksgiving to go into that evil stuff, Black Friday. I know why they call it Black Friday. It's evil, man. Those ladies get vicious. We went to Walmart, and they had some, sister, it was just simple towels on sale. And they were in these bins, and they were wrapped with saran wrap, and they were telling everybody, don't dig in yet, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And when they said go, there was ladies going neck deep into that stuff, and heels flying everywhere. And man, there was fighting and pushing and shoving. I said, these folks are crazy. So I did what any man would do. I broke out my cell phone and took some pictures. Man, I said, I got to have proof. These lazy ladies do go crazy over this shopping stuff. Man, I was scared. I did stand back. I stood back and just kind of watched and thought, man, I don't even want any towels.
I know.
After I left there, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to go home. I was scared. Man, I'm going to tell you what, this shopping stuff ain't for wimps at Christmas time. So I'm on my way down here, and there was a big old sign on the side of the road, and cars just stopping and sliding to the side and all kinds of crazy stuff, and said holiday traffic ahead. And I looked, and there was a big old mall over there to the side, and I thought, my word, I'm thankful I'm not going there. It was vicious in almost in every vehicle. I'm just picking on you ladies this morning, but in every vehicle there was a lady, and she had a look in her eye. She wasn't looking at the interstate. She was looking at the mall. She was like this. Man, it was a dangerous zone. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. Aren't you thankful you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Man, even if you would stand with me this morning. Amen. It's good to be back in Athens. Amen. Good to see everybody. Amen. Had a great time when I was here last time and got to know a lot of you folks and your good pastor, his wife. Amen. And it's good to be back with you guys again. Amen. Brother and Sister Hart, I love them very, very much. I mean, they're like a second set of parents to me that I don't get to see very often. I've gotten to see them a lot more often this year than I have in the past. Amen. But I love them. I appreciate them. Amen. And I've just been praying for this church, amen, because they have these two, I don't know what y'all call them, I call them double trouble. And man, I'm going to tell you, it is trouble. These two young ladies right here on the front pew, they're just, man, I just pray, that's all I can say, amen. If you would go with me in your Bibles, amen, Matthew chapter 9. Amen. I'm not going to preach anything new, and I'm not going to preach long this morning. Amen. I may just preach if that's okay. I'm not much of a teacher. Amen. But what I feel this morning is just a little different than my normal style of preaching, so you have to bear with me. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to be going in a couple other places too. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. Matthew 9 and verse 18 says, While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus rose up and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about when he saw her. He said, Daughter, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. I want to focus on this verse number 18. Says, While he yet spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. Amen. And I want to go to Acts, if you would go with me there. I'm not going to read the whole Bible, I promise, just a few scriptures. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Let's go to John. This is the last place I'm going to take you. Amen. John chapter number 5. Verse number 5. Says, And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Ask His help this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we ask Your anointing, Your Spirit to minister today. God, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your Spirit. Lord, in this house, we pray that You would touch, God, every heart, every soul here today. God, asking You to minister, Lord. God, speak, touch. God, we thank You for Your Spirit that we feel already in this house. Thank You for Your Spirit. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. I want to preach to you just a little while. I'm not a lot, just real fond on titling my messages, but if I was going to title it this morning, I want to preach to you about, on this title, I Am Certain. I am certain. The definition for certain is a particular person, place, or thing. Or it could mean this, positively sure, absolute, or definite. Certain has two meanings. It's one of the words that make learning English difficult. So many different meanings. A particular person, place, or thing. In the text that we read just a little while ago, these places, it spoke of a certain woman with the issue of blood and a certain man. And Every one of these, I believe they were probably talking about a particular person or place. But whenever you take a close look at these, they were all in need when they come to Jesus. Every one of them had a need, or when they come to the presence of the Lord. Every one of them were standing in a place that they had a need. And every one of them, though the Bible was referring to them as a particular person, place, and certain person, I believe that after they come in contact with the presence of the Lord, or Jesus, when they left that place, they were no longer just a particular person, place, or thing, a certain, but they became certain of the presence of the Lord. Amen. When they were in contact, and after Jesus had touched them, the presence of the Lord had touched them, and their needs had been met, they were no longer just certain person, place, but they became definitely sure and absolute of the presence of the Lord. Amen. The day and the hour that we are living in, amen, in the time that we are in today, nothing is certain. Nothing has a guarantee. Nothing you can put your hands on is going to last you for eternity. Nothing has a certainty of tomorrow. Everything we have, everything that we can touch, is going to perish one day. And just like Keith said a little while ago, he said, you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. Everything you have is going to be left behind. But there is one thing that you better get a hold of today, and that is the certainty of the power and the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you have the Holy Ghost and you're in this house today, you have the certain, amen, and you have the definite today. Hallelujah. The Lord, amen, when He filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you may have come into the house of the Lord, and you may have approached Pentecost very cautiously, not knowing what was going to happen. But when you walked away from an old-fashioned altar and you were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or when you went down in the lovely name of Jesus, when you come up, amen, you were certain of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In these scriptures we read a while ago, they probably were not referring to them as definitely sure and positive as a certain woman or a certain man. Amen. But I'm going to tell you today, as the lame man that come to the temple that was laid daily there. Amen. And he come asking in alms, and many people passed by. Many people looked upon this man. Amen. And many people, maybe they took a little bit of change and cast it into his cup, or maybe they threw him a few vittles of food or something, and maybe just to help him out a little bit. Amen. And he was just remaining the same every day, day after day. But there came a time that here comes some people that had just left the upper room. Amen. And they had been in tune with the presence of the Lord. And as they walked by this man that had laid there daily, they looked on him. And he looked at Peter and John, and they said, hey, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. And as they reached out and they touched this man's life, and the presence of the Lord flowed through them into this man, he became certain of the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us that he leapt up, and his legs and his feet received strength, and he began to leap and dance and rejoice in the presence of the Lord. He was no longer just a certain man, particular person, but he became certain that day. Hallelujah. Amen. And the woman with the issue of blood, as she made her way to Jesus, the Bible referred to her in Matthew chapter 5 as just being a certain woman. But as she touched the hem of his garment and pressed her way through everything that was around her, and she touched the hem of his garment, when she touched that garment that day, and virtue flow through the Master into her. You know what? As she received her strength that day, as she received her healing, I believe she jumped up and began to say, I'm certain of the presence of the Lord. I'm certain that He is my healer. I'm certain that He has touched my body. I'm certain that He has made me whole. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, the certain lame man at the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus left that day, I mean, he said, I don't have anybody when the waters are troubled to put me in the pool. I don't have anybody to help me out. Little did he know who he was talking to that day. He was talking to the certain. He was talking to the guarantee. He was talking to the Creator. Hallelujah. He wasn't just talking to just anybody. He was talking to the certain. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, you say, Brother Michael, what are you preaching to me? I'm telling somebody today, I'm certain that my God is still a healer today. I'm certain that my God is still a deliverer today. I'm certain that if you come in this house this morning and you have a need in your life, Jesus is in this house to meet your need and to supply your every need today. I'm certain today that my God is still able to do exceeding and abundant above all that you could ask or think. Hallelujah. I'm certain today that my God is still a healer. Anybody been healed in the last little while? Anybody ever just been sick in your body and just didn't have the strength to go on, and Jesus reached down and healed your body? You ought to say today, I'm certain of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I'm certain today that if I were to come down with something and the doctor were to look at me and say, Michael Vincent, you don't have much time to live and there's nothing we can do, I'm certain enough in the presence of the Lord that all I would have to do is go to my Creator and say, Jesus, if it's your will, you have the power to heal. And I believe today that He can heal my body. Hallelujah. I'm certain today that if there was someone in this house today and you had some addictions and some problems and some sins that had reached out and got that ugly grip a hold of you, and it just seemed like you were dragging it around and there was no way to get rid of it, I'm certain enough to tell you today, Jesus is in this house to deliver you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the certain today. You know, you can go to AA, you can go to all kind of meetings. There's no certain guarantee that those are going to help. But one moment in the presence of the Lord today, He is the certain. In one moment, in one encounter with the presence of the Lord, you can be delivered and walk away a changed person today. Hallelujah. I am certain today that God still inhabits the praise of His people. I said, I'm certain today that God still inhabits the praise of His people. Hallelujah. If I come into the house of God and I lift up my hands and I lift up my voice in praise, I'm certain that He's going to stop and take a notice and He's going to receive my praise. Hallelujah. I'm certain enough today that I know if I come weighted down, depressed and oppressed, and I have a problem, all I have to do is get in the presence of the Lord. Lift up my hands and lift up my voice and begin to call on the name that's above every name, the certain today. The certain, can somebody say amen? He is the certain. All you have to do is lift up those hands and begin to call on the certain, the only certain today. Hallelujah. Lift up those hands and begin to call on Jesus. And when He hears my praise, hallelujah, whenever I begin to praise and my praise begins to lift up, I'm certain that He will touch me and He will change me from the way that I came in. Hallelujah. I'm certain that Jesus hears my praise, but I'm also certain that there's an enemy that hears my praise. And when I begin to worship and the enemy has dragged me down and he's told me, you might as well give up, you might as well turn around, I'm certain that when I begin to praise God, he says, wait a second, I don't have them yet. For some reason, they've still got faith in God. Why do I still have faith in God? Why do they still have faith in God? Because he is the certain. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today you're living for the certain? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're living for a guarantee? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. You know, we are powerful. You know, look at your neighbor and tell him, you're powerful. We are powerful not because we are Pentecost. Not because we have the truth. Not because we are somebody. But because we are persuaded. I said because we are persuaded. We are certain. A saint of God that is persuaded. A saint of God that is certain of the presence of the Lord. Someone that says, I'm going to cast all my cares on Him because He cares for me. Somebody that has enough faith to say, my God can do anything. I'm going to tell you, it is somebody that will come into the house of God and say, I'm certain of the presence of God. You know what? There's not a devil in hell that can stop you from receiving a miracle. There's not an enemy in hell that can stop you from receiving your blessing when you say, I am certain of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that Satan trembles and fears at a saint of God that is persuaded and is certain. Satan fears and trembles when a saint of God says, I am certain of the presence of the Lord. I am certain of the power that Jesus has given me. You know, we have power over him. We have power over the enemy today. God has given us a certain power that the enemy will never possess. He can never possess that because he had it one time and he lost it. And he'll never get it back. And so, you know, he's going to do everything he can. He's going to do throw up every roadblock he can to keep you from being certain today. That's why when you come into the house of God, everything in the world's going through your mind. Everything you've done, everything that's in your past is going through your mind because Satan is trying his best to sidetrack you and to deter you from receiving the blessings of God. In Isaiah 14, 13 through 16 says, he was saying, Satan was saying, I will exalt myself. I will be like the stars of the heavens. I will. But you know what? If you read on, it tells of his future. He's saying he would like to have all these things, but if you read on, it says, but we know that he shall be cast down into a fiery pit. I'm telling you today, he's a wimp. He don't even have the keys to his own house. He don't even possess the keys to his own house. And we let that intimidate us sometimes. We let that uncertainty keep us from the certain. And I'm telling somebody today, you need to put your eyes on the certain. You need to quit looking around at all the problems, all the situations, all the troubles, and get your eyes off of the storm and put your eyes on the Master today and say, my God is certain. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm certain today that the place he's going, it was not created for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that hell isn't created for you? Aren't you glad you don't have to call that your home? Hallelujah. I am certain that he is the first. I said, I am certain that he is the first, the last, the beginning and the end. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's my salvation. And he is my soon coming king. He is my ticket out of this world. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes our greatest problems is we let the uncertainties keep us from the certain. Our minds, our flesh, our neighbors, our friends, our spouse, our belongings, all those things that are uncertainties, those things that one day we will not have anymore, those things that are going to perish and one day that are going to go away, the uncertain things keep us from receiving blessings from the certain. The thing, the only thing that's going to last us in eternity. I do not want to get so caught up in the uncertain things that I cannot have enough faith in the certain. I said, I don't want to get so caught up in the uncertain things, my house, my car, my clothing, my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my sister, my brother. I don't want to get caught up in all those things that I lose focus of the only certain thing today. I wish somebody would hear what I'm trying to say today. You have a guarantee of tomorrow. Don't let the uncertain things stop you from your guarantee of tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't let the uncertain things get in the way and fog up your view and cause you to get detoured and lose out on eternity with God. Hallelujah. I believe that a church that will get a focus on the certain things, the certain things, the guaranteed things, you will begin to see miracles and miraculous things. Why? Because certainty is faith. Certainty is saying, I may not see it, but I have a guarantee. He put it in the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, I can rest assured that it's going to happen. It's going to take place. I may not see it today, but I have a guarantee that it's going to take place. God's promises are like His presence. We don't always see it. But when we get a hold of it and we get in focus with it, we can feel it and it begins to be evident. I'm telling somebody today, there is no telling what God could do in your life. There is no telling what God would do in your family if you would get a hold of the certain and just say, God's going to do it. God is going to do it. In John chapter 4, a man comes to Jesus. Bible called him a certain man. And he comes to Jesus. And he says, come now. My child is dead. And Jesus said, I'm not coming. But I will send my word. I will send my word. And the man left on a promise. He didn't see it take place. He didn't know for sure that his child was going to live again. But by the word of God that was spoken, he became certain that God had done it. And he left on a promise. I'm telling somebody today, there are some promises that have been planted in this house. There are some things that God has promised you. You haven't seen them yet. Oh, I feel that in the Holy Ghost today. There are some promises in this house. You have not seen them yet. God has said, I will bring your children back. I will supply your need and I will do this for you. And you know what? You haven't seen it and maybe it's been a few years and maybe times have gotten a little worse. But I'm telling you, today you have a guarantee. You have the certain today. And if you'll just put your eyes on the certainty and take them off of the uncertainty, God is going to give you your promise. God is going to perform a miracle in your life. I am not going to let those uncertain things stand between me and my miracle. Me in a closer relationship with God. You know what? We grasp a hold and we hold on to the uncertain things. And it's those uncertainties that are stopping us from the miraculous. It's those uncertainties that we hold on to so tight that are keeping us from the certain, from the guarantee. You know what? I'm just crazy enough to believe that if there was somebody here today that you had a need in your life, I'm just crazy enough to believe, I am just certain enough in the presence of the Lord today that if you had a need in this house, if you would bring it to God, God will supply your need. If you come in this house today and you are weighed down with problems, financial problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, if you come into the house today, and those uncertain things are just weighing so heavy on you, I am certain enough today in the presence of God to say that if you have a need in this house, God is in this house to meet your need. Recently, my mom, she raised all of us children in church. There's 10 of us kids, and I believe I told y'all that last time I was here, but my mom raised us all in church. Every one of them have had the Holy Ghost. Every one of them have known what it's like to sit on a Pentecostal pew. And recently there were two of my sisters that just went through a really tough time. Both of them within a week went through a terrible, terrible divorce. Both of them. Both of them living for God. And in just a few weeks, it seemed like the enemy just come in and just turned their worlds upside down. Problems like you would not believe. And you know, they know what it is to trust in the Lord. They grew up in the same upbringing as I did. They know what it's like to trust in God. But I'm going to tell you, whenever you're in the midst of a storm, it is the hardest time to apply what you know.
That's right.
When you are going through hell, it is the hardest time to trust in God. Even though you know that He can supply your every need. And you know that in just a couple weeks, I noticed a big change in their lives. They cut their hair, began to wear makeup, and just dress like the world, and they quit coming to church. And you know, I started questioning, and I said, how can somebody do that? Knowing what we know. And man, I started to look on them and get very cynical and just began to say, you know, how dare they turn their back on God? How dare they walk away from such a heritage that we've been given? And God spoke to my heart and He began to really deal with me about the certainties. And you know, when you're in the midst of a storm and you're going through the darkest time of your life and troubles are on every hand, there is a battle that is going on of the certainty and the uncertainty. The certainty and the uncertainty. And you know what? If you're not careful, if you don't have your feet on the rock, if you haven't really gotten a hold of the certainty of Jesus Christ, those uncertainties will win out. You know what? I watched two of my sisters, two that I never thought would walk away from God. I watched them walk away, throw away. a wonderful heritage. Throw away a relationship with God. But you know what? I am believing today that they'll come back to Christ. But you know, my heart is heavy today for somebody in this building. My heart is heavy. And I just believe that somebody is fighting a battle of the certainty and the uncertainty. And if you're not careful, hear me today. If you are not careful, those uncertain things are going to win. You better make sure that you know the certain. You better make sure that you know who is the giver and who is the supplier of your needs. And you better get a hold and hold on tight. Because when you're in the midst of the storm, when you're in the midst of the storm and the trials are pulling at you and the troubles are weighing you down, you can lose your grip on the certainty and transfer your grip over to the uncertainty. And I'm going to tell you, as soon as you do that, that uncertainty will take you to the bottom. Yeah. Why don't you stand with me in this house today? Are you certain today? I'm not talking about a particular person, place, or thing. I'm talking about the guarantee, the definite, the assurance. Are you certain? Are you certain today? If a trial were to hit you right square in the face tomorrow, would it be what cost you your relationship with Christ? Would it be what that final straw that takes you down? Or would it be the stepping stone that takes you a little higher? Because see, if you've got a hold of the certain, if you've got a hold of your guarantee, when those trials come, those tests come, when the enemy is there and he's raging and the trials are pushing you down, if you've got a hold of the certainty, that certainty is going to rise to the top. And it's going to pull you above your trials. It's going to pull you above the troubles. It's going to pull you above the test. And you're going to come out on top. There's a battle today going on of the certainty and the uncertainty. And I'm going to tell you today, if you have the least bit of uncertainty in your heart, you better get a hold of Christ. Because all of this world is sinking sand. There's only one solid rock. There's only one solid rock. And if your feet ain't upon that rock, you're going to sink in the miry clay of this world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe that Jesus is calling out somebody's name today. You know you better than anybody else knows you. You know where you stand today with God. I don't know your relationship with God. You may look good on the outside. Everything may look fine. And you know you could walk out of here the way you came and nobody would ever know that there was uncertainty in your heart. Nobody but you and God. But I am warning you today, you better get a hold of the certain. Because when those storm winds blow, you don't want to be knocked down. You don't want to lose out. Sister Hart begins to sing. I encourage everybody in this house today. I encourage everybody in this house today, get a hold of that certainty. Put your hand in the hand of the Master and hold on. He will bring you through. He is still your healer. He's still your deliverer. He's still the God of the certainty. Hallelujah. Can we just love the Lord in this house right now?
this world.
Oh yeah. Come on, Jesus is walking through this house.
This house.
Come on, you can leave certain of the presence of the Lord today. You can leave chains. You can leave a brand new person in Jesus today. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Brother Michael Vincent can't do it for you. Brother Grissom, Brother Hart can't do it for you. Only you can make that stand. Only you can make that change. Hallelujah.
This weary land.
Oh, yes. Come on, that's it. Put your hand in the hand of the Master today. Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand the trials and the tests. But God, I know that you're going to bring me through. You promised. You would never leave me nor forsake me.
The unseen I'm trusting to.
Oh yeah, hallelujah.
The unseen
that God. Can we just lift our hands in this house today and receive the word of the Lord? Hallelujah, yeah.
This weary land.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just one more time lift our hands in this house and thank Him?